due to a problem with our microphone, this recording is intermittent until around the 10-minute mark.
God said, where are you singular? He answers. Adam himself answers. They don't answer. Adam answers, okay? It's singular, not both answering. He says, I heard your voice in the garden. Okay, he's still talking about himself. We didn't hear the voice. I heard. It's not saying that Eve didn't hear the voice or whatever, but he's answering in the first person singular. He's just himself. He's talking about, I was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself. Adam doesn't mention or refer to his wife at this point. Okay? Now, for the sake of the recording, because I didn't have my microphone on, we're in Genesis 3, 9-19. God asked three questions. The first one is directed straight to Adam, where are you? God shows that he's open to fellowship, still comes to the garden. God reveals the expectation for Adam to be there. God asks a question that emphasizes Adam's absence and the obvious change of relationship. And he addresses the question directly to Adam, not Adam and his wife. Now, I ask a question here. Why did God only call out to Adam? And I give you at least three ideas here. Adam is the one that God commanded regarding the fruit, not Eve. The woman was not even created yet in Genesis 2. We've shared that before. He could have waited, created them both, and then prior to the woman's creation. Leader who represents his family. Okay, this is huge. We'll see, yes. Who does God call into account first and foremost? It's Adam. Adam, where are you? Third, Adam's sin is what caused the broken relationship. Remember, Eve, the woman. Nothing happened. Then Adam eats the fruit, and both of them are open. Okay? He's the one that caused that. A fourth one, if you want in here, we probably talk about this more next week. But wherever Adam is where the woman is. By virtue of God's design for her, they're one. Relating to Eve as well, though indirectly, because Eve is there to help her husband. That's her God-given design. Okay? So she finds her meaning, she finds her identity in Adam. All right? Sure. I don't think so. Not directly. It says that to her husband who was with her, proximity close, you know. But there, you're with Paula, even if you're at the farm store and she's at home. But and again, they were just in the Garden of Eden. How big that was, we don't know. But I don't think he was directly there, because I think the way the text kind of indicates is that he had to choose after she had already eaten. And he wasn't deceived. The Bible's clear on that. So the devil went to her, and then she brings, hey, look what I did. You need to eat too. So then Adam had a choice to make. Well, that's why the devil went to Eve. What's the most precious thing on the face of the earth right now to Adam? His wife. And what is Adam doesn't, or the serpent, the devil doesn't do a straight onslaught. He goes indirect, right? He he goes through the woman, and she's not intended to lead or decide, at least in that area, right? Because God commanded Adam, not Eve, in the regard. It, you know, in the theoretical realm, she should have said, I don't know, you'll have to talk to my husband on this, because that's his realm, right? God's the one that commanded him. You'll have to talk to him, right? She took Adam's role and chose to do something that was not in her realm to choose, right? Because that had to do with Adam. And she obviously had been informed by Adam or God. I purposely think because God created Adam first, that otherwise God at the same time. So Adam was Adam's answer. There's here. They go along with the three questions. I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid and I hid myself. Now, I don't know if I'm adding into this or not. I don't, so I'm just telling you that. But it seems like Adam never wants to answer the question that has been asked. At least not directly. Where are you? Would expect a what? Over here. I'm here. That's the question. Here. Okay? He starts out with an excuse, kind of explaining or reasoning why. Okay? And then he says, I was afraid because I was naked. So he's still explaining things. And then I hid myself. Okay, so he's kind of maybe trying to get. But he doesn't answer it directly. He doesn't say, here I am. He basically says, he answers the question with an explanation. Not make a whole lot of difference here. But it will the next time he answers a question. Okay? The indirectness shows his heart. Now, verse 11 and 12 give two questions, but God doesn't wait for the answer to one. One kind of leads to another, okay? God says, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Okay, so the second question, have you eaten of the tree that I commanded you not to eat? So about the second question here, we're on this box right here, okay, the second box. God's second question, God asks about the result. Oh, you're naked. You know that you're naked, which is a change of view, not a change of circumstance, a change of view of how Adam is seeing himself. He now has a sinful heart, and he sees things from a wrong perspective. And it's reflected in Adam's previous answer. So he talks, he picks up on Adam's answer, I was naked and I hid myself. Okay? So he picks up on that and he says, who told you you were naked? Then, without waiting for an answer, he gives him a direct answer about the act of sin. What was the one rule in the Garden of Eden? You need a what? Any other tree but the knowledge of good and evil, right? You can eat of any. And he said, have you eaten of that tree? I mean, there's no speed limit, there's no taxes, nothing. That's the only rule. And it wasn't like it was unfair either. It wasn't like there was one tree to eat and all the rest you couldn't eat. It was like one tree and all the rest you could. You can eat of everything else but this one, okay? God asks a question that expects a yes answer. Now pay attention here. Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? The answer would be, and that's it. It's a yes or no answer. Okay? The answer is yes. Right? God asks a question that deals with what. Now, this is important. What, not why. Now, listen. Our sinful nature always tries to give you a reason why I sin. And God is not interested in that because sin is sin. The reason makes no difference. God doesn't ask, well, why did you sin? But that's the way Adam answers the question. Well, let me tell first, before I answer your question, God, let me tell you why I did this. Another indirect answer. He does answer it. God asks a question that expects a yes answer. It deals with what. What have you done? Not why have you done it. We in our culture even, we like to say, well, because of this and that, that's why I sin. The devil made me do it. You made me do it. It's not really my fault. Sin is your fault. Sin is your, if you sin, guess whose fault it is? Yeah. Now, other people might make it easy to sin. But when you sin, it is your fault. You choose ultimately to do what is wrong. Adam, instead of saying yes, period, he says, oh, while we're on that subject, God, let me answer your question. But I'm going to give you a little more information. The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. I ate. You got that? I ate. But what's he do beforehand? He doesn't even explain it away. He just... you know, it's not me. It's her. And by the way, you gave her to me. This would have never happened if you... You know, let's just get this out in the clear now. It's her fault and kind of your fault. And of course, I ate because, you know, it's not my fault. That's anybody, Bear. It's not a gender thing here. But he didn't do what he was supposed to do. He didn't answer the question directly. He answers it with an excuse that says, she gave it to me. Does that in any way eliminate his sin? And God gave her to him. Is that anything at all? Is that an excuse at all? It seems like just the previous chapter, he was like, this is the best thing that has ever happened to me. She's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And she'll be called woman because she was taken out of man. It's like, woo! And now it's like, it's her and you, God. Okay? He does say he ate, but he doesn't say yes. He says her and you, basically. And, you know, I'm the innocent person got caught in this kind of. Okay, so question number one is, where are you? Question number two is, have you eaten of the tree that I commanded you not to eat? Okay? And then the third question is, since he blames on the woman, in part, he says, what is this you have done? Okay, God's fair. He's going to listen, right? Oh, it's the woman's fault. Okay, let's go over here. What is this you have done? All right? Now, listen, then we're at the bottom here of the sheet. God addresses her food to Adam, not the fruit, her eating the fruit herself. I want you to, what did Adam say? She gave to me and I ate. What does God go to her about? What is this you have done. Does she get in trouble for eating the fruit? It doesn't appear so. What does she get in trouble for? Giving the fruit to Adam. And we'll talk about that a little bit more, but I think that's an accurate statement. Remember, the command seems to be to Adam directly, not to her. Okay, directly. Now, it's kind of an overshadowing thing that until he eats, nothing happens. So she indirectly helps him to do it, and even somewhat directly, but he still had to choose, and we'll talk about it in a minute. And again, so what question? What is this you have done? Not, why have you done this? Because does why mean anything when it comes to sin? What have you done? Have you sinned or haven't you sinned? That's the issue, okay? So it doesn't really address the sin, because the sin was, what? Eating of the fruit, which Adam did, right? Now, the woman's answer, she actually answered accurately. I don't think hers was in any way blaming, though she did kind of follow in the footsteps of Adam. Okay, she says, she answered accurately, she was deceived. It says, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Okay, I ate, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. She kind of doesn't answer about giving it to Adam. Okay? She points to the serpent who did deceive her. She follows the leadership and example of her husband. Well, Adam did this, so let's pass it on. Okay? Now, turn your sheet over. This is the most interesting, so that's where I wanted to spend the time. Verses 14 and 15. Now, pay attention closely, because this is going to go fast. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, he doesn't ask the serpent a question. The serpent is an animal of some kind, you know, a reptile or whatever, that I think is controlled by the devil or whatever, okay? So it doesn't go into detail. It just calls the devil and Satan and the great serpent in Revelation. It ties them all together, okay? They're all the same thing. He says, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. Okay, so I want to draw three lines here. Okay, kind of lines. Okay, this is the serpent column, okay? Serpent column. We have three columns on the board. This is the serpent. Notice here, because God gives a reason. Because you have what? Done this. What did he do? He deceived the woman. Okay? That's true. Bible clearly says that. In fact, that's one of the reasons the Bible uses in the New Testament why women can't lead or have authority, teach or have authority over men, because of this very act. And I think it's reflective of the design that God has, what God has for men as opposed to women, and vice versa. Now notice, here's the curse. He uses the word curse. And I'm going to give you four. The first word is more. Okay? More than all the cattle and every beast of the field. So, what more than what? All the cattle and beasts of the field, at least land animals, okay, are cursed. And then, on your belly you shall go. Okay? Some depict some old records, not biblical records, but they depict like, it's probably more of an imagination, but they depict something of a, you know, a serpent with arms, you know, that kind of walked around. Okay? Again, it's not a biblical picture. We have no idea what he looked like, what the serpent looked like. But it says you'll go down on the ground and you'll slither. Okay? I mean, hopefully you don't recognize anybody there. But, okay? All right? Notice here, and you shall eat dust all of the days of your life. So God penalizes the serpent because he was used. Not that I don't think responsibility in a sense like humans do, but it represented what the devil did. So therefore, God cursed the serpent. Okay, down in the ground, he slithers like the snakes we know of today. And this is a big word. I will put enmity. It looks kind of like the, well, not really. It sounds like enemy. Enmity is a violent opposition. Enmity. E-N. I can't really look. It's not as good as it should here. Between the woman and your seed and her seed. We're going to talk about that next week. So I'm not explaining it now because we're going to go into the grace and goodness of God that he reveals here. But all of a sudden now there's enmity between, interestingly enough, the woman and her seed and the serpent and his seed. Okay? We're not talking about, I don't believe it's talking about snakes. Okay, some people do, but I don't think so. Okay, so who have we covered so far? By the way, there's three pronouns. That's what I call it. God pronounces something. Okay? So he gets down to the last person, the blamed, and he deals with the serpent. Okay? You've done this because you have done this. No, why? Why have you done this? Irrelevant. You did wrong. Here, you're cursed. Okay? No, give me your reasons. You know, are you sorry for what you did? Doesn't matter. Cursed. Okay? The second one here, God starts working his way back. Now he's to the woman. Now notice in your notes here, I have this. What is not there? He doesn't say because anything. And he doesn't, so he doesn't give a cause or a reason, because, and he doesn't say the word curse. So however you want to say that, is the woman cursed? I don't know. Some people say, well, it doesn't say that. Okay. Regardless, she received, okay, in two areas. And this is huge. And we'll bring it up just at the end here. Her realms, what are the two realms of a woman by God's design? This brings it out. It clarifies it. And again, a lot of people ignore Genesis, and they ignore it at their own peril, at their own definition of what a man is and a woman is. And our culture wrestles with that today. They wrestle with what a marriage is because they ignore these things. But notice here, it says, I will great, he doesn't say because or cursed. Either one. Here's a reason. It's like you're involved, and so this is the impact. And it's really probably the impact of because of Adam's sin, I would say. Not her, what she's done. Because Adam is the one who sinned. Okay? But notice here, it says, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. What does that have to do with? Childbearing, what's another word for that? Motherhood. Let's call it motherhood, okay? All right. I'm not sure what that is. It looks like a euro facing down. Motherhood, right? Which is what? Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Right? Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that creeps on the earth kind of idea. The very essence of a woman is motherhood in part. And does that change? Does it change here? It just makes it more difficult. Okay? Next one. It says here, your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Lots of explanations on this. It's conflict with her husband. Trying to lead him is what some people say. And his sinful, overbearing leadership will be the reaction to that. Okay? The idea that she's trying to lead him because he's not going the way he should, possibly, or whatever. But that's wrong for her to try to lead him. I tried to be over him. Okay? And he'll react and still rule over her, but with more harshness. Okay? So what realm is that? Did I spell that right? I always misspell marriage. I always think, well, I'm going to spell it the other way because I always misspell it, and then I always misspell it because I think I was correcting what I'd misspelled before. Marriage. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, so motherhood and marriage. So the two realms that have not changed from Genesis 1 and 2, they're still there. Those are her, when you talk about the helpmeet for her, for Adam, this is another way to say that. Motherhood and marriage. Okay? She's helping him, and her motherhood role, goal, design doesn't change. It just makes it harder. We're going to talk about that a little later, okay? I have one more here. I'm going to erase. Do I have an eraser? Don't look. Okay, all right. Now he talks to Adam. Okay? I think my marker's not in here. Okay, notice there's a because again. And he lists two things. Reason number one, which kind of catches you off guard. And it implies some things happen that the scripture doesn't record elsewhere. What does it say here? Because you have heeded the voice of your wife. That's the word you want to put in there, wife. Sorry, I skipped that. Wife. Because you heeded the voice of your wife. When did she talk? This is what Jim Lanier answered there. This is what makes me think that he wasn't there. Because at least, you know, where he could hear what was going on and knew what was going on. Because it appears, if I had to paint a picture and all I have to go on is this, I hate this. And there's some kind of discussion. Because she talks to him and encourages him to eat. He heeded the voice of his wife, which implies that she was like, you got to eat this or whatever. Did she cry? Did she get mad? Did she whatever? We don't know. Okay? But there was interaction and possibly resistance because he knew what God commanded. And right, he wasn't deceived. The Bible clearly says that he outright turned around and ate the fruit that God commanded him not to do. And the first thing that God points out is you let her be your God rather than me. Now, I don't know if we'll try and cross that bridge. It certainly won't be today. Can a woman influence her husband in a good way? Absolutely. Every night, that's not a trick question, okay? The challenge is, ladies, be sure to encourage him to lead, but don't make him do something that he's not sure he should do. That's his realm. Now, you can say, well, you'll have to answer to God for it. True. But, and this is what I won't get in today, but you can go throughout Scripture and find wives that have turned their husbands' hearts away. There's that danger. And I would probably say right off the top of the head, there's probably wives who help their husbands do right. I don't have a list of those in my head. I can list others that turn their husbands away because it kind of sticks out. But there's a barrier, and I'm dumb enough, and I say this not facetiously, I'm not sure where the line is. God has given me a very wise woman, and I think she's helped me avoid a lot of poor choices. And there may be times when she's helped me make wrong choices. And I don't have my mind is blank, so I'm not listening. You know, I'm not thinking, but I'm sure there's times when she thinks I should do something and I'm not comfortable doing it. Okay? That's where the line, I think, is where you have to say, well, okay, I've heard what you have to say. It's my ball from here. I got to run it. Whatever direction I think I need to go. We won't go into it other than God points that out is a big deal. because you heeded the voice of your wife. Okay? And notice it goes on to say, have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you. That was what she was talking about. Okay? However that came out, we don't know. But you let her lead rather than you leading. You let her be God, or if you will, be more important than what I said, and I'm God. Huge, I think. Two huge things. Men, we need to lead based upon what God says. Now, it isn't always easy. It isn't always even to know what God has said about it, because a lot of stuff is not addressed specifically in the Word of God. So I'm not saying it's easy, but it's something we have to be aware of, and then it's our responsibility to do what's right. Even when our wife thinks something else is right. And that's what gets hard. Okay? Now, second one is eaten. Ate of the tree, right? Now, curse. There's the word curse in. We'll give this to you quickly. He says, cursed is the ground. First one is the ground. Cursed is the ground for your sake. So the serpent, the result is cursed. Well, we don't know if it's the result of the serpent is cursed for him, but maybe the whole earth is cursed because of ultimately Adam's sin, okay? And I would probably lean that way. But here it's talking about the ground specifically for Adam. And then, by the way, the ground pretty much affects all of the earth, doesn't it? Okay, so it's a worldwide curse, if you think of it that way. And it says, in the area, just like the woman in her realm of creation, design, responsibility, where is Adam cursed in? In the realm of his work, right? And again, to me, that's the idea. This is the definition of a woman and her responsibility. This is the definition of a man. That's completely different in our culture today. Right? Men, women have become men in the way they function. And that has left this out. And Romans talks about that. Women leave their original place. I can't remember the state, but it has to do, if you look at the Greek wording and stuff, it has to do with bearing children and stuff. Okay? So it changes everything. Notice the next one here. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. So it's going to be, it changes his work. Notice here, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. So let's just call that weeds. Any problems with weeds, Jim? That's still an issue? Can you say herbicide? Do you say herbicide or herbicide? Without an H? Okay. Herbicide. Always bugs me. Herb, whatever. I didn't write the English language. Yeah, isn't it funny? Because it's not like there's a fix for it, ultimately. It's a patch, but you have to, kind of like computers, you have to keep patching the herbicides, okay? And you shall, notice here too, it's interesting, but you shall eat the herb of the field. What? I don't know the full significance of this. But what were they supposed to eat before? Fruit of the tree. I don't know. You know, maybe it was just why grow your own if it's growing for you? And then, you know, I don't fully know, but it seems like the main menu changed from the tree to the ground. And instead of the trees that kind of grow on their own and you can trim them and prune them and maybe plant them, but they're relatively easy overall. And if they're already there, life's good. But now you have to get all of your food by growing it yourself.
Well, remember, they were cast out of the garden.
Yeah, we're not there yet.
Well,
yeah.
I know, but I'm saying that was an orchard. That was basically an orchard.
Now, yeah.
And now they're out of the orchard. They're out in the
field. Right. Right. They come slow.
Right.
You ever plant a fruit tree? You don't plant it and go in the fall and pick your apples or whatever. You know, it takes a while, and it's like, okay, it's starting to bear, and now I got two apples. Not even enough for a good pie this year. You know, it takes a long time. So the primary menu has changed. Notice here it says, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. Now, this one I had to put a question mark on because, man, it's amazing when you start thinking out loud about these. It's like it's funny. No one ever comments on this stuff. You know, they go so generally that we miss the details. But is it a change of climate? The sweat of your brow? Or is it the discomfort instead of enjoyment? Because he's already mentioned the toil. Is it restating the effort it's going to take? I'm not really sure. It's we know it's going to be harder, but is it going to be hotter? Or is it just going to be that much more work that you're actually sweating? Instead of, hey, can I get you an apple there? Here. You know, kind of that idea. May I peel you an orange? Banana? Okay. The last one here, notice, is dust. Till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Dying and death. And then I fit in there, too, because I started thinking, well, it isn't just at the end you die and see, I told you so. It's the whole process of dying, isn't it? Annie, I noticed you got some nice glasses. You just took them off. But even this is part of the process of dying, isn't it? Things aren't working as well. I don't hear as well as I used to. Okay? My body doesn't feel the same when I get up now as when he used to. I don't remember hurting like that every time he got up. It's the whole process. And what about sickness and the process there? It isn't just die. It's crumble, 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 failure, things aren't working right, die. Right? That's the death process. So all of that is part of the curse that comes upon all of us because Adam sinned. Okay? So we have three questions. Where are you? Adam should have been there, and he asked Adam, not Adam and his wife. He said, have you eaten of the tree that I've commanded you not to eat of? And his answer was, well, yeah, her and you, yeah. And then she goes, God asked the woman, what is this that you have done? And that this was giving the fruit to her husband. Okay, and that there's some kind of encouragement that she provided vocally, at least we know. And then, this is the interesting thing I thought, because there's no cause or curse here. It seems like the result of ultimately Eve's issue was Adam still, because nothing happened until Adam ate, right? But there's a curse that affects all the animals. Adam affects all the ground, all of creation. All right? Why? Because sin breaks everything. Sin is a big deal. And it doesn't matter why. I want you to carry that with you too. God doesn't ask why questions. Why did you hit your brother? You know, why did you disobey? No. Did you disobey? That's the question. Okay, why questions don't work with God there. It doesn't even... sin is sin. And why you did it is irrelevant. That's just the way... You know, the process of temptation you took to get there. Okay? So, because you did this, the serpent is cursed more than all the cattle and creeping things. The woman is affected by inner motherhood. I'm not sure what, in sorrow and conception will be increased. I don't know if it's speedier conception or not. Some people kind of don't know for sure if God sped up time by causing conception to happen faster or not, but at least the sorrow in your conception is increased. So can you imagine having children without having any pain? The whole process, and I believe that's the whole process of motherhood, not just the birthing of children, and also marriage, the interaction. Just think what it would be like to have a marriage like Adam and Eve had before the fall. There was not even a premise for an argument or sin. And then Adam, of course, God brings his way down back to Adam and ultimately lays it all on his shoulders, and you'll go back to the dust. Eve went to the dust because of what Adam did. That's fair to say. So, questions or comments?
You have two lines at the bottom.
Oh, yes, I do. Thank you. The first one, here's the lines at the bottom. I didn't know where to put these. I actually wrote these last week. It's just like I have all these things I want to share. Ability. Accountability. It's a very big word. But God holds you responsible. Okay? God comes to the garden and calls specifically for Adam. He asks Adam if Adam has eaten as Adam himself was commanded not to do. God holds the man responsible, first place. Ladies can try and become the men, but it's only going to hurt further, and it shows that men aren't leading as they ought. The next one here is consistency. And this is one that, again, if people read the text, consistency, it shows you that the gender roles have not changed. Okay? Notice here, the woman is affected in her realms and roles of motherhood, conception, and childbearing. And I would add child rearing, it's that whole process. And wifehood, that's my own homemade word, her relationship to her husband. Adam is affected in the realm of his work, the ground, and is directly held accountable for heeding the voice of his wife instead of obeying God. Reversal of roles and making his wife God in his life. Original gender roles are not changed. Adam's focus is on work. Eve's focus is on Adam and their children. The original roles, gender roles are not changed. They are only made more difficult. The church has totally rejected gender roles, and that's why I believe we have the issue of same-sex marriage or homosexual marriage and even the definition of male and female, because the church has rejected it. Okay? Women act like men act like women, and it's against what God has assigned. So, more of that later. Did I cover all the spaces? Except the space between my ears. I got more to do for that. So, thank you for your patience. Next week we're going to talk. We won't have nearly as much to cover, but it's probably way more important. It's what God did to express his love and grace for those that had a broken relationship through him because of sin. Okay, several things that are amazing. Let's pray. Lord, bless us as we continue to learn your word. And I pray, Lord, that it would just help us to see the word of God and see the world that God created through your eyes. And may we conform our thoughts and actions because of it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for